since we have had help in coming forward. And I will tell you, it is wonderful to have you closer. As I have come down from the pulpit, it is only right that you should come forward, right? And we sort of meet in the middle. I do want to greet us this morning with these incredible words from Paul. He was speaking to the church at Corinth. He was speaking to all of the saints who had gathered there and all of the saints who were to come. And this is what he says to them. May these words be from the Lord to you. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, and it is by Him that we are called into this fellowship of following Jesus Christ and being the body of Christ. So welcome this morning to worship. We have a special day today. Today is ordination installation for our incoming elders. We have two that will be ordained. We have three who are returning, and I pray that just as the Spirit rested upon their shoulders and told them to say yes in this calling and this following, that you also will feel called. Just a note on our prayer list. Besides keeping Janet in our prayers and certainly keeping the Tebows in our prayers, I think it is most fitting, as we do every week on our own, but probably today as a church, to remember our nation and to remember that as we are moving forward into a new time and a new era, that God's still got this. God's still got it. So we need to be in prayer about faithful leadership. And also, just a bit of what was going on last week. I think probably the majority of it was probably some hurt and a little bit of anger. A whole lot of sadness about what had happened at St. Stephen Presbyterian Church. My former mentor was the pastor there, and I received a text letting me know what had gone on. And there are just times, I think, in our lives as people, sometimes we get overwhelmed. And to know that there is that much anger and that much hatred and that much hurt in the world was a bit overwhelming last week. And so thank you all for coming to this place of sanctuary and for being the people of God that you are. And with that, I would invite us to turn to our bulletins and begin as we should begin in this holy space, and that is with prayer together. Let us pray.
Creator God, it is you who made us. We are dust without your breath, O God. Breathe your Spirit into us, that we might be faithful in the ministries you set before us. Help us to move forward in this journey of faith, trusting your grace today and tomorrow, and setting the cross and the joy of discipleship through Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
When fear is holding you back. When despair has brought you down. When all seems lost and the world is too harsh. So in this time of worship, let us follow Jesus and know that Jesus is with us.
In all of our human sins, we need to hear God calling for us. We need to hear God breaking through our barriers, and we need to feel God's hand stretched out to us. In confessing and asking for forgiveness, we are given the gift of God's saving grace in Jesus Christ. Let us pray together.
Hear these words of good news. God's faithfulness endures forever. God forgives, God renews, God restores. And as the book of Lamentations tells us, God's mercies are new every single morning, just for you and just for me. And so thanks be to God in Jesus Christ, who loves and forgives us very deeply and who calls us into a new way of living. Amen. With me, please. Most wonderful God, please remove from us the rowdy chatter of the world and open our ears to the still small voice of your Spirit as you witness to the truth of Christ Jesus. Enable us to hear clearly, to understand profoundly, to respond freely, to serve lovingly, and to worship delightfully. For your name's sake, amen. The epistle reading this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ.
He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Thank you. This morning, our gospel lesson comes from the book of John, the first chapter. And I'm just going to summarize a little bit of the beginning, and I will pick up reading again in verse 35. We began when John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he makes this very bold statement that the choir just sang. Here is the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. Don't you remember that I told you about him? He is the one upon whom the Spirit descended. He is the one whom I baptized with the Holy Spirit, not just with water. And so John says, I testify he is the Son of God. Picking up in verse 35. The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and he watched Jesus walk by, and he exclaimed, "Look, here's the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say, and they followed Jesus. And when Jesus turned and he saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" And Jesus said to them, "Come and see." And so they came and they saw where he was staying, and they remained there with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who had heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon, and he said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which translated means the anointed. And he brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John, but now you will be called Cephas," which means Peter. The grass withers, the flowers fade, the word of our Lord endures forever and forever. Thanks be to God. Amen. I'm going to invite Kathy to come forward with our young disciples this morning.
Well, good morning. We've missed y'all these past few weeks. Y'all want y'all come sit down here so I can talk to y'all down here? We want y'all come sit down here. Can y'all see? So how do we find out what's going on in the world out there? How do we keep up with what's going on out in the world out there? From the news, and particularly for the news, is it the reporters that go out into the field and tell us about things? What was the last thing that you can remember about that we heard in the news? The reporters came on. But the president, they didn't want to pay for the Trump wall. Yep. Well, you know what is in my mind is about when the police got shot down in Dallas. That was the one that kind of sticks out in my mind. Do you remember when those policemen just got ambushed in downtown Dallas? And how do you think Jesus was living? How did they know what was going on in the world? How did they know? Sophia? Messengers and people, just kind of word of mouth, isn't it? And how did they find out about Jesus? Kind of the same way, the word of mouth. And how did we find out about Jesus? How did we find out about Jesus? From church, and just from church, maybe from your mom and dad, maybe from Sunday school, maybe from the pastor. And what do you know about Jesus? What have you learned about Jesus? What? He was born in Bethlehem, yes. And what else do we know about Jesus? What does he do for us? He sacrificed his life. But what do we get from all that now that he sacrificed his life? We get forgiveness, and what else do we get? Freedom. And so that's what I want y'all to think about this week. When you go out, just remember that not everybody in the world has as much freedom with religion as we do. So that's what I want you to think about this week. So can we have a quick prayer? Dear God, we thank you for your son Jesus and giving him to us. Help us to go out into your world and be witnesses to you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
see Washington. Well, John, as we have said through word and song, John has just boldly proclaimed that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. And these fellows, they want to come and see what that is all about. Wouldn't you and I, if someone came and said, here is the Lamb of God. And so Jesus senses that some ones are following along behind him. And so he asks a really pretty practical question that actually is not very practical at all. He turns to them and he says, what are you looking for? Jesus knows that they're looking for a change of heart. He knows that they are looking for a fuller life, even if they don't realize it. Because the truth is, sometimes you and I don't know what it is that we're looking for. And the good news that we have is that Jesus knew then, and Jesus knows now. For some strange reason, again, I think it's not really strange, the disciples, in response to the question, what are you looking for, they ask him about his living arrangements. Where are you staying? Where do you live? Of course, you and I know that cultural boundaries and religious boundaries and economic boundaries and social and educational barriers were as common back then as they are now. Quite often when we come to someone and we meet them, we ask two questions. What do you do? And where do you live? As if that is supposed to be how we are defined. And it is absolutely the sheer beauty and grace of Jesus' invitation that he doesn't walk up and say, well, let me tell you what you're looking for. Jesus says, come and see. Explore, experience. Come and actually see what it does mean to follow the Lamb of God. I think it's a great model for us as we are followers and we are trying to reach out to those persons we know and hopefully those persons we don't know well, even those persons that we don't know at all. When we are inviting them to come and to experience for themselves what it is like to live and feel and be as Christ. I love the way that author Madeline Bonigal says this. She said, you know, we don't draw people to Christ by loudly discrediting what they believe, by telling them that they are wrong and that we are right. But we show them Christ. And we show them a light that is absolutely so lovely that they want with all of their hearts to come and to see the source of that light. I think it's fitting this morning that we are still in this season of light. We call it Epiphany. And coupled with this wonderful day, we are giving thanksgiving to God for those who are coming to see what following Jesus means at this point in their life, this point in the life of this community of faith as our new elders. Because I believe that although Evelyn, even though I can't see them, Evelyn and Bruce and Shirlene, even though you have served on session before, I think the Lord is saying to you all, come and see what I have planned for you. And I think God plans to surprise you. I don't think that business as usual is ever business as usual with God, who surprises us each and every day with these new, unique opportunities to show the light of Christ to others. And Cindy and Jacob, I think that your answering this call is taking you on a new adventure. The ministry and the mission that you can go and you can see what it means to live more fully the life of Christ. And I think His coming is calling you to go and to show others what it means to live Christ-like. The thing is, this invitation from Jesus isn't just for Cindy. It's not just for Jacob or Bruce or Evelyn or Charlene. This invitation to go and see is extended as graciously now as it was back then. And what it requires from you and what it requires from me is a yes. Yes, I want to live more fully like Jesus, and then to actually do something with that yes. And it may be something completely different than you had experienced before. It may be something that takes you, it may be something that takes this community of faith across cultural and religious and social and economic and educational boundaries. Because I believe that God is placing unique and wonderful, perhaps frightening, and maybe overwhelming opportunities in our lives, in our neighborhood, in our church. And I think those of us who live far and those of us who live near are being called in a whole new way to come and to see what Jesus is doing, what God is up to. Not what God was up to 5 years ago, not even what God is going to be about in 5 years from now, but what is God doing right now? Because living into God's future means that we trust God at this very moment. So let's be honest with one another. And this is another bit of revelation about what was going on last week also. Our worship and our educational attendance is shrinking for reasons that range from deaths to personal choices. And I see the hurt and the sadness in your eyes, and I feel it in my heart. We are striving so hard to be faithful in the ministries of this church with fewer hands and fewer feet. And I see that tension in your faces, and I feel the weight on my shoulders. Our overall financial is decreasing. I hear the fear in your voices, and I feel the fear. But here's the issue. The issue with all of this seeing and all of this hearing and all of this feeling is I. Part of why I had, another part of why I had a little mini meltdown last week, is that I find myself trying to manage situations instead of seeing God's work and then coming alongside God as a faithful disciple, doing what God is asking, living into God's hope for the future, for this body of Christ, where we are right now. I am in need of some old-fashioned prayerful seeking and listening and patience and not panic. If I can't trust God's hand at work, and all that is happening in my life, and all that's happening in your lives, and everything that's happening in the life of this congregation, I'm not
cannot claim to be a follower of Christ. But I do trust, I absolutely do trust that God knows exactly what God is doing and I need to start acting out. Doesn't mean I'm going to stop crying. Doesn't mean. But I don't need to let the fear of the world translate into non-action for those things that I believe God is calling us to do. When we go on youth outings, quite often we ask the young people, where could you see God at work today? We call them God sightings. And the thing is, those kids go out every single morning, whether they are at Cindy's workshop or on a mission trip or wherever, and they are expecting to see God at work. They are looking for it. And some of the most incredible stories about how Christ has transformed the lives of people comes by way of them coming back and answering that question, where did you see God today? Perhaps at times, it's time that all of us became more intentional about expecting and watching and giving thanks and then sharing those transformational stories of our own lives and of the lives of those around us, because the truth is when we are excited about the life of Christ and how following Christ changed our lives and how it's changed the lives of others, when we're excited about it, other people are going to see the light of Christ. And so Jacob and Cindy and Bruce and Evelyn and Charlene, you have chosen to answer yes to this new journey. And you may think that you know where God is taking you. I pray that you're surprised. I pray that I'm surprised. I pray that this congregation is surprised. I also pray that we are more intentional about coming and seeing what God is up to, where God is taking us. And I pray that we do that with prayerful and with patient prayer. And then I pray that we follow with confidence, like the disciples that we say we are.
Let us stand as we say what we believe.
We belong to God, creator of all ages, all his time, abundant provider of gifts to this life and gifts to our own hearts. It is God who gives life, who is generous beyond measure with grace and blessing. You all Christ, God sent to teach and heal.
May we join our hearts together in thankful prayer. Gracious God, you see the deepest needs of our hearts, and you call us to follow you and to listen to your voice. And so we ask now that you hear our prayers as we call upon you. In community, God, you have given us church. You have given us this church. You have given us this body of Christ. And you have asked us to listen to the power of your Spirit about building up this body of Christ, building it up in love, building it up in compassion, building it up in service and in joy. And so encourage us, empower us, and even challenge us, God, to share with our friends that good news of Jesus Christ and invite them to come and see so that they can share in Christian fellowship with us. You search our hearts, you know us. And so we ask that you lay your hand not only upon us, but upon our nation, upon all who are in authority, so that they can be instruments of your compassion and your peace. We ask that you fill them and you fill us with your grace and kindness, your generosity, your hospitality, even as we seek to be neighbor to one another, whether that is next door or whether it is across the world. And we ask now that you look upon the needs of all who are suffering, who are in need of healing, of mind, of body, of spirit, and particularly, God, those who are in our own congregation and those whom they love. We ask, God, that you continue to watch over and heal Janet. We ask your joy and your presence with Vicki and Lewis and their family. For all of those, God, that have been named in our Sunday school classes, in the conversations in the kitchen and the hallways, and for those even at work, we trust even now that you hear our request. And we ask that you give us childlike faith to listen to what you're speaking, and then to follow you in faith. And may we do all of this through the power of the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray with thanksgiving. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
The session of this congregation has examined these newly elected elders. They have shared their stories of faith. They have shared a bit about their call, accepting this call from Jesus Christ. So it is in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church, that we gather here to ordain Jacob and Cindy and to install them and to give thanksgiving and install Charlene and Evelyn and Bruce. And we trust that they will be using the gifts that they have been given by God for the building up, not only of this body of Christ, but the body of Christ we know as the world. And so I invite you to join me in this celebration. There are different gifts.
But the same Spirit gives them.
There are different ways of serving God.
But it's the same Lord who is served.
And God works through different people in different ways.
But it's the same God who achieves his purpose through them all.
Each one of us is given a gift by the Spirit
to use it for the common good.
And together we are the body of Christ.
Individually, members of him.
And even though each and every one of these elders, each and every one of you have different gifts, we use those gifts for the good work of reconciliation that Jesus Christ lived and modeled for us. We work and we pray to make the church useful in the world. We are grateful that God still calls men and women to faith so that the end result is that every knee shall bow and every hand shall be lifted and every voice will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. And so within all of these common ministries, we are chosen for particular works. And like I said, I hope your work gets surprised in this next year. But in the act of ordination, we recognize and we give thanksgiving for those gifts, remembering that Jesus said, whoever is greatest among us is going to be least, and whoever is least will be first. For I have come not to serve, but I have come to not be served, but to serve.
Madam Moderator, speaking for the people of the church, I present Cindy Garrett and Jacob Wood to be ordained and installed as ruling elders. Speaking for the people of the church, I present Evelyn Parker, Bruce Turner, and Charlene Watkins to be installed as ruling elders.
So I'm going to step out here just a little bit so I can see you all. There are constitutional questions that we ask of you, but they have much more to do than just being constitutional. They are at the heart of your faith. And so I ask you these questions. Do you trust each and every one of you in Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you acknowledge him as Lord of all, as head of the church? And through him, do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? If so, say I do.
I do.
Do you accept the scriptures, the Old and the New Testament, to be inspired by the Holy Spirit and to be the authoritative and the unique witness of Jesus Christ to the church universal? And is it God's words to you? Do you sincerely receive and accept those essential tenets of our Reformed faith that have been expressed in our confessions? Do you accept them to be the authentic and the reliable exposition of what Scripture leads us to do and to believe? And will you be instructed and led by them as you lead God's people? Will you fulfill this office that you have been called to in obedience to Jesus Christ under the authority of Scripture? And will you continually be guided by our confessions? Will you be governed by the church's polity and will you abide by its discipline? Will you be a friend among your colleagues in ministry? And that's not just those of you here. It's not just those who sit around that table at the session meeting. That is all of us, because we are all colleagues in ministry. Will you work with them subject to the ordering of God's will and God's Spirit? If so, say I will.
I will.
And will you in your own lives seek to follow Jesus Christ? Will you love your neighbor? And will you continue to work for reconciliation in the world?
I will.
Do you promise to further the peace, the unity, and the purity of Christ's church? Will you seek to serve the people with energy, with intelligence, with imagination, with love, with creativity, with surprising things? If you do, say, I will.
I will.
And now, Jacob and Cindy, Evelyn, Bruce, and Charlene, will you all Be faithful elders watching over the people, providing for their worship, for their nurture, for their service, and will you share in the government and the discipline, serving in our governing bodies of the church and in our ministry, most importantly, will you show the love and the justice of Jesus Christ?
Do we, the members of the church, accept Jacob, Cindy, Evelyn, Bruce, and Charlene as ruling elders, chosen by God through the voice of this congregation to lead us in the way of Jesus Christ?
We do.
Do we agree to encourage them to respect their decisions and to follow as they guide us, serving Jesus Christ, who alone is head of the church?
I am going to invite all of our ordained elders to come, whether you are past, present, come. And I invite everyone to stand as we are gathered together and giving our support for this ministry of Christ. And Cindy and Jacob, if you want, would you mind kneeling? And before I offer these age-old words of prayer, they may say the same thing, but get beyond the words and listen to the presence of the Spirit as these people are being touched by God to do the work that they're being called to do. We ordain Jacob and Cindy. Blessed are you, God, for all of your goodness. And blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, who as the bridegroom loves the church's bride and blesses her with the gifts of the Spirit. And so now, God, we commend to you Jacob, who we now ordain to the office of ruling elder. And we pray that you will continue to fill him with your Spirit, that he will be well equipped for the service that's expected of him. Keep him pure in heart and unselfish and zealous always for the advancement of Christ's kingdom and for the well-being of the church and this church. And God, keep him faithful to the end until our Lord comes again. And God, we commend to you Cindy, whom we now ordain to the office of ruling elder. God, continue to fill her spirit so that she will be equipped for the service expected of her. Continue, God, to keep her pure in heart and unselfish and zealous always for the advancement of Christ's kingdom, for the well-being of your church and for this church. And God, keep her faithful to the end until our Lord comes again. Amen. You all may stand up if you want. And Evelyn and Charlene and Bruce, if you would gather here, and you two stay close.
There we go.
Let us pray. And God, we commend to you now Evelyn, whom we install to the office of ruling elder. And as we have prayed with Jacob and with Cindy, we ask that you fill her with your Spirit, so that she is equipped for the service that you expect of her. Make her pure in heart, unselfish, keep her zealous for the advancement of Christ's kingdom, for the well-being of the church and this body of Christ called Eastminster. Keep her faithful to the end. And likewise, God, we commend to you Bruce, who is now being installed as a ruling elder. Fill him with your spirit so that he is equipped for the service expected of him. Keep him pure in heart, unselfish, zealous, joyful always for the advancement of Christ's kingdom and for the well-being of the church. And keep him faithful until the end when you, our Lord, come again. And gracious God, we commend to you Shirlene as we install her for a new time of serving as ruling elder. Continue to fill her with your spirit. Equip her for the service expected of her. Make her pure in heart, unselfish, zealous, so that she also is always looking for the advancement of your kingdom and for the well-being of Christ's church and this church. And keep her faithful to the end until our Lord comes again. Amen.
Amen.
And so, in every age, God has chosen servants to speak and to lead the people of God. And so I hope that you will join me in giving thanksgiving for Jacob, for Cindy, for Evelyn, for Shirlene, and for Bruce, that God has now called to serve and to use their gifts. I pray that along with me, you will ask God to fill them with his spirit and that he will continue to call them as ambassadors of Christ, showing not only this body of Christ his love, but reaching out into the world to show that. And so Jacob and Cindy, Evelyn, Bruce, and Shirlene, you are ordained and you are now installed ruling elders for this congregation. Whatever you do in word and deed, do everything in the name of our Lord, giving thanksgiving to God always. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. You all may greet our elders.
God knows us by name. God knows all that we can do. God appears in our works for justice and is revealed in our hope for change. Let us carry this spirit into our giving. Let us praise God with our gifts of tithes and offerings.
Thank you.
farthest corners of the world. Bless the gifts we give today. Take them and consecrate them to touch lives, make disciples, and transform the world. We pray in the precious name of Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
I pray that when we leave this place, when we sing our closing hymn, you will find that renewed sense of doing what it tells us to do. I love to tell the old, old story, for even those who know it best seem hungering and thirsty to hear it just like the rest. And as you go and as you share that story, the Lord is with you, behind you, encouraging you, beside you, befriending you, above you, watching over you, within you, giving you the gifts of faith and hope and love. The Lord is beneath us, holding us, and thank goodness before us, showing us the way.